Well, we're over in our teaching and things. We're looking at Jesus Christ, the healer. We're looking at the fact dealing with demonic powers and sickness and disease. We've been looking at that in this area because we're dealing in the areas with demons. We've gotten away from teaching on those areas. In fact, I haven't done much in teaching around those areas, and I noticed in the body of Christ, generally, people weren't. One of the things that wasn't is that there's some reasons. There's some reasons why God quits ministering in certain areas, and he don't talk in certain areas, and he may go for long periods of time because he does this. I've learned some things over the years that, I'm just amazed that especially ministers don't pay attention lots of times to how God works and why. They don't ever ask questions why something don't work. You know, things don't happen. But I've learned this over time. When God brings a move in or tries to bring a move in, which he did, back in the early 90s, the Lord had spoken to me specifically about wanting to move in the area of dealing with deliverance ministries under dealing with demons. He wanted to move into that area to bring teaching into the church in that area. Well, there was some good teaching there, but there was a lot of bad teaching. In the 1990s, ministries got way off. They got into real flaky stuff in the areas about intercession and all kind of weird stuff. Really got out weird. In fact, it got so weird that people even got locked up in jail for doing some weird stuff, which they should have been locked up. I mean, just doing things and their ideas of dealing with demons and dealing with people. I'm talking about people over in what they call the word group. Got into a lot of weird stuff. They got into demonic stuff trying to deal with demons. leaving the word. God withdrew. God just withdrew and led. And I said, the Lord, you wondered why I didn't come back. And I learned over time that sometimes there's certain generations need to pass off before God will bring something back again. See, we don't like to hear that. I'm just going to tell you, that's what we've been sitting through. You know, we've done, and our country has had some major moves of God. And the people who've seen and walked into major moves have gotten pretty lackadaisical. And you know what? God's sitting and waiting because he won't revisit that generation. He won't revisit them. They don't walk in the light. You don't walk in the light of what God gets you. He won't revisit.
Amen. Preach.
Now, they don't teach this at many places. Would you ever wonder why you go through periods where God don't seem to move? You follow church history. You have great revivals and it's just cold periods of time. God will wait. Check out how many years go between this stuff. It's usually a generation. He'll wait for that generation to die off. Right now, there's a lot of people who come in during the charismatic renewal are dying off now. They're getting old. It's sort of like you'd say the Second World War people and that stuff, a lot of them will leave. Those people saw great revivals come in. The revivals started, the healing revivals in the 48 and that stuff after the war, and they saw those things. God came in and moved. They walk in light of a lot of the stuff. They walk in light of it, what they had. Now we say, well, they did better than people today, but I don't care. They didn't walk in light what they had. They had more light than what they walked in. God expects something of us. And we want to deal with these things because we're going to deal with demons. We're going to need to understand about these things. You're not going to be a casual Christian and deal with demons. That ain't happening. So, Amen. You can just get that off your list and check off. Say, this is one I'll never go to. That's, demons will operate and you won't be able to do anything about them. Now, see, God started teaching me about demons when I first got born again, and I talk about it, because, see, I was involved over the areas of sorcery and things, and I was involved in those areas, knew about demons. And it's like today, we're so educated, we don't believe that demons work. We're just going to deal with the mind and our thinking and that stuff. We get good education, and we're real smart. We're just going to make right decisions, and the devil's going to go to sleep. No, I'm going to tell you, devil's in America up to our necks. And what he did, he came in through our education. He came in through it. He didn't have to. We could have good education systems. But we chose demonic. We chose to put God out. And we're just going to make everybody smart. We put God outside, God's an afterthought. The devil don't exist anymore, People just need counseling. You just need to talk to them. That's going to work. Well, we got the greatest communication systems the world ever had today. How's it working? How does reasoning, why don't people reason? Because people are dealing with demonic powers ruling and reigning in their lives. And they are bound.
Amen.
Both sides of the political field are bound by demonic powers. People are over trying to do everything through the natural, everything through there, which requires the power of God. So God is going to, here in his last days, God's moving into some things. In fact, I was really glad to hear this because when we were down in Pensacola, Florida, Randall Greer said he's going to do some teaching because Randall Greer, the start of his ministry was when he was in prison and he got saved, when he got saved and things, and God dealt with him and dealing with demons, and he did a lot of casting out demons. You go to, I know I worked in a jail. Demons live there. Oh, you're going to come in and we're going to have all these programs and that's going to, yeah. I'm going to tell you, no, I'm going to tell you the demons live in that place. Just like they don't live in the prisons only. Now they live outside and everywhere. We just have them everywhere. But we need to understand you're dealing with people, you know, we're just going to rehabilitate. I'll tell you how bad rehabilitation is. You know, they traveled. While I was worked in a prison, not one time did we have an individual who went out in through a counseling program and got out and went all through that, didn't return. It just worked so good. Hey, demons love counseling programs. They thrive on them. They're just going to waste your time and your taxpayer money. They're just going to. Do you know what the United States government considers a person being delivered from drugs for? If you're, in other words, you're free of drugs. If you get out of a program and you last 3 months, they consider you were cured. Now, after 3 months, you get back into it again. This is how they tally their cure rates. They tell you, you know, oh, we have all these people got, you know, they got their deliverance, man. These guys aren't. Yeah, they did it maybe 3 months. Some of them didn't last that long. And they tell you that that's their idea. Why? Because if they change it any other way, they're going to have one out of a million get straight. And then they turn around and then this, what they do is they have that, what if you're on heroin and stuff, they give you that, methadone. Methadone is nothing but an addictive drug. And people are on it. They're as addicted as they were with heroin. This is the government's answer. The government's answer. You know, I'll tell you, I ran into this Jesus guy, you know, and he delivered me.
Amen.
And he took the 1-2 out of me. Why? Because he changed the man. See, you can run through all the counseling programs. It doesn't matter. This, if you're still the same you as when you came out, you're just going to be in the same miserable state you were in.
Amen. Preach.
See, Jesus Christ made a different man. He killed that dumb guy, that stupid idiot that destroyed his life. He killed him and made me a new man. See, that's what I tell people. Do you want to change life?
Amen.
See, I have people come, they ask for help. I say, well, do you want to change life? Because I can't help you if you don't want to change life.
Amen.
You don't want to change your life. I don't care if you're a Christian. You don't want to change your life. Don't ask me for help. Because there's reasons why we end up in problems. My problems come because of something along the line that I'm maybe not paying attention to. So I must change something. Everybody wants a prayer fix it, a do this fix it, a that fix. That isn't how it works. Thank God. Prayer may help you get over it, but you got to be fixed. You got to have something. You got to have a change. Something. And see, you got to realize, what am I opposition in here? Is there really demonic power? See, if you don't really believe much about that and you just live your life like, you know, the next door neighbor's just an idiot, you know, and that you don't realize he might be dealing with demons and he might be all right and you're the problem. You're dealing with demons and you think he ought to get straight. If you don't know what's going, you're not going to deal with the real issues of life. See, I know it. See, you know, everybody, you know, wants people like things about their lives change. But I found this out. God has dealt with me over the years. It always comes down to this. Am I willing to make changes of what I want to do? Or if I want to see something, what about me? What am I going to do about it? You know, talked about it last week. There's a spiritual law. And this spiritual law is seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. Everyone who asks receives. We need to understand, that is a law. If you were not seeking God, if you were not knocking, forget it. You can sit and listen to teaching all you want. But if you are not an asker, and if you are not a knocker, you are not gonna get any revelation.
Great preaching.
It's the law. It's just the way it is. That's why He taught in parables so they didn't understand. It's because they were not seekers. They were not knockers. He didn't just throw it out to them. You sitting and listening to teaching doesn't really do any good at bringing revelation if you're not after something.
Amen.
You've got to be after it. It can't be a casual, well, whenever it suits me, and you know, like people used to got into this whole thing. I watched this for a decade. We started that thing. I'm so busy. Well, what that means to me is this, you ain't going to be chasing after God. You get busy, that's the last guy you're going to look for.
Amen.
You know, everything else will be more important. That's what people, that's just basically what it means.
Amen.
But you don't understand that I'm busy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get a lot busier. Because the devil's going to keep you busy and keep your life messed up and say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to ever be too busy. See, you know, to me, well, you know, I'm working a lot. You know, I'm trying to prosper. You know, we're just trying to pay bills. I'm just trying to get by and get in that mindset. I gave that up long, long, long time ago when I got saved.
Hallelujah.
See, God has to be who he said he is. If I have to work my fingers to the bone to make it, well, then he ain't who he said he was. If I don't have time to chase, there's one thing about it. If I don't have time to go after God, if I don't, what's wrong with the system? God's asking me to go after him, but I don't have time. Either God's messed up or Ed's messed up. Well, huh. I just want to say this. You'll always find the time for what you really love.
Amen. Great preaching.
Da, 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 da. Now these aren't things that people love to hear and they love to, but it is, see, it comes back to us. God has made it up a system that he will help you achieve whatever you want to go after, whatever, he'll help you.
Amen.
If you want his kingdom, you want to go, he'll help you. Now if you want the world's kingdom, you're going to have to go to get the help of whatever that is. You're going to have to go through. But God will help you have a choice of what kind of life you want.
Amen.
You choose that. Hallelujah. To me, that's a wonderful thing. I can make a choice. God is never going to push you into what you don't want to go to. He's never, that isn't the way he operates.
Amen.
But if you want to go somewhere, he'll empower you. If you want to understand his kingdom and how it works, he'll empower you to know and understand. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to go to college to get smart with God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm not against education at all. Hallelujah. Look, I'm a believer in learning, man. I love to learn. I mean, I just, and you want to find out things. Now, because we want to deal in this area, there needs to be an awakening on the conditions of why things exist. One of the things we want to deal with today, there's a lot of sickness that runs is because of demon powers. Directly. Now, the Bible says this in Acts 10:38, said how Peter made this statement, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Peter said there that really sickness and disease is demonic oppression. We need to know this. So there's really, that doesn't mean a demon behind every sickness that goes on, but sickness is in this earth and it's oppression that was bought by the devil, not by God. And you have to get over into things. Sometimes, and we're finding out from a scripture, for a person to be delivered, they're going to have to be a demonic power dealt with. We don't do that anymore. We just keep pray. Pray, pray, pray. In fact, the devil will promote you to go pray. If you'll ignore what's actually happening and going on.
Amen.
What are you praying about? You know, there's things that I've learned about this over time. There's different reasons why people are sometimes sick, or even ourselves. I've learned this over time. Is if things I'm moving in an area and things aren't changing, I will ask God, "What's is there something I need to know that I don't know? Maybe there's something I need to change. Just not a demon, just something I need to change concerning things that I need to do." You know, it's one thing about it. If you're a worrier, you're going to have health problems. Warriors are going to have health problems. Over time, you know, you do it, it'll eventually eat at you and eat at you if you're a warrior. You're going to have health problems. That's why things are. We're going to talk about some of these things today as we're dealing these things. The devil wants you to get over, live the worry life. The worry life is a life where, this, I'm just going to tell you the fact, is because you got faith problem.
Amen.
You don't have confidence in God. You're worried. You're trying to take care of what it takes somebody to take care of it for you that you can't do. Worry is lack of trust in God. Now, I know about it. Like I always say, my mama was a world champion warrior. She had Olympics. She won the Olympics, I think, 40 years in a row as the champion worldwide warrior. She worried about everything, you know. Don't laugh. You know, I love the Christians. They have worriers. And I've had people I try to deal with about worrying, and they insist they're not a worrier, and everybody else knows they're a worrier, but they, no, I don't see myself. Well, too, you can't deal with people on stuff. They don't want to see themselves. They don't want to know. You know, people today, you know, what they do is, here's what spirit-filled people do. I'm not a worrier. I'm just concerned. Hey, there's good to, no, they're always being concerned about something. But to worry about it, you can tell. Worriers don't ever smile a lot. You don't find happy worriers. And I'm going to tell you, not all spirit-filled Christians like happy people. You know? It's like I had a woman one time in a church we were in, and that stuff said that, and I wasn't a pastor or anything in that church. I was just a church member. She said, I needed to have something bad happen to me because I laugh too much. You know what I'm saying? Now, I want to talk about what you're thinking. She ended up dying prematurely. See, the way you think. We're going to talk about that some today here, because people and their thoughts and thinking and how we think and how we revealed concerning the Word and what we think about, there's a lot that is in believed concerning, even in among the faith people, that is not scripturally taught. It's men's ideas about these things. I'm just a stickler for this. If the Word didn't say it, you know, let's not get over and place it. If God didn't show up and tell it to me, let's just let that thing, you know. I don't need to add to. We've had too much add to. We've taken the simple and complicated it and made it into things it wasn't. There's one thing. The Word ain't going to make everybody happy.
Amen.
It's not going to.
Great preaching.
And we need to face these facts. Is number one, some people, they want to have their life the way that it is, but want to have all the good too. Well, that's not going to work. We have to make decisions. Our decisions in life are going to determine what God can do or will do for us. And now last week we talked about the thing. We looked at the fact of Jesus' ministry. It says that he healed a guy who was deaf and mute, but we found out that he had cast a demon then out of the individual. We talked about that. And so the Pharisees came along and said, well, he's casting out the devil by the devil. That's how he's doing it. And that's where Jesus, we took the time to look at things. Jesus made the statement and said about the fact that he said, a kingdom divided against itself will fall. And then he went on and we read into the whole thing, because what happens, people pull these segments out to teach, but never teach them in their context. They don't go through the contextual teaching to find out, what did Jesus say about that whole subject? We take parts of it out and use it for here or there, which can be good, but there's revelation in context that lots of times Christians never get, because we only hear sermons on, you know, spots here and there. And so we need to say, what was Jesus trying to bring across? Well, Jesus went from that, talking about that, to the fact he talked about, said to these guys, he said, you know, about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. He said this and made this statement. He said, I'll forgive anything that any man says. But he said, the Holy Spirit won't. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he won't forgive you in this age or also in the age to come. Now, we did say this because, you know, there's people who we could say blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand, to actually blaspheme God, you have to do it by knowledge. You can't, you know, somebody didn't know about something and made a statement about God, was ignorant of it. These guys knew, and we're going to, as we go on, if the Lord allows me to, we're going to teach and we'll find some things about the Pharisees and what they taught. Many times they were liars because Jesus was walking in the light of what they taught, but they didn't like him. They didn't want, because they were afraid he was going to take their place. And he should have. Did you ever notice about this? When you go to scriptures, you find like in the book of Acts as the Spirit of God moved. We only have one time that it mentions concerning a Pharisee who got born again, and that was Paul. Now it talks in the scriptures in Acts about, he said even the priests were believing and following God, but it never talks about the Pharisees joining in. You need to understand this thing. You better watch the religious groups you hang out with. They can really affect your life where you'll never walk in the light of God wants you to have. God's removed me from groups because of that. He said, if you stay around that, what happens? You get bound and caught up in it. After a while, they'll give you position and place. And like the Lord said to me, he said, you're not going to end up where you want to be if you stay with that group. You need to be very careful of what you stay around and what God called you to. I don't care how good it looks. That's one of the things that people are not careful about. Your spiritual development is based on how close you walk to God, what he's called you to do, not somebody else. And what I found out, people all the time wanted me to walk where they were. They had no interest in me following God in the light of what he called me. No, you gotta copy me and come over here and follow what I'm doing. This is what you gotta do. You know, it's one thing, it's over the years I've seen in ministry, I've had more times than we've had in our church over the years of people who came, who God never called them to stay here. God brought them here for a time to hear some things so they could go do what God called them to do. We've had people, ministers, and people who ended up in the ministry and out in ministry came and sat down for time. All these ministers, you can keep everybody, get the big crowd. Let's send somebody somewhere. Amen. These keepers, it's about them. It's not about the person. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe in putting people into ministry. We need to get a hold of some of these things out here. Is people are blinded. You know, your success is based on the numbers who sit in front of you. Not at all.
Amen. Preach.
I'll tell you, I put it around this world. I have put so much into ministers are out here in ministering in places and that stuff and things that I don't even see them anymore. They're out here ministering, putting into things. We're expanding the kingdom of God, not my kingdom.
Amen.
It's not about Jesus anymore for many. It's about what, hey, we got to have a show. We got to have this thing. You know, we got a 20,000 seat auditorium and we fill it three times on a Sunday. Yeah. 20 minutes, you know, maybe 15 minute sermon. In and out of the things, and it's just nothing but a canned thing going in and out. That place burned to the ground. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. It's sending people in more of wrong directions than right directions.
Amen. Preach.
We got to stop this stuff. We got to get back to where there's ministry and teaching. It's just like, you know, with Brother Hagin, when the Lord told him about, he said, I had you start a school, but that wasn't the best. He said, I had you start this school because, he said, churches weren't teaching their people and raising up ministers. Uh-huh. Can't get nothing at church. Uh-huh. Hey, that was back then. Uh-huh. What do you think it's at today? And these same people are calling for a move of God. They might as well forget it. See, you got to raise people up so they can move in the flow of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God uses people, not just the minister up front. I mean, this is what church has become. It's the guy up front. I mean, it's not the guy up front. It's everybody. Everybody's called to something. Don't you want to do something other than just spend your life just doing everything natural? Just going to work every day and that stuff? Why not God do a miracle at work?
Thank you, Lord.
I had more miraculous things happen through me at Reese Candy Company than a little bit.
Amen.
I wasn't in the ministry per se. I was ministering there. Mm-hmm. God did supernatural stuff.
Amen.
See, like Mike said, you have an opportunity. You do. You know, God opened doors. You know, just coming to church ain't it.
Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah. Preach. See, I want God miraculous on the outside.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, Jesus finished off his discourse. Let's talk about what you say with your mouth. He used the illustration of a tree and its fruit it produces. And he went on to say, it's out of your mouth. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
Now, he's telling these guys, this all started off with casting out demons and all that stuff. See, what you're saying, this whole kingdom thing runs off of words. It's all off of where you're going to deal with demons. It's how you're speaking. And all this comes down to the bottom line of this. How are you thinking? As a man thinketh, so is he.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit today because this is important in ministry if we're going to get people delivered. How do you view things? What do you say about things? Are you talking from revelation? Are you just talking from your religious experience or something, whatever it is? Are you really talking about the anointing of God from revelation that you have? Is your thoughts and your thinking is really important? is understanding these things. You know, Jesus, you know, had made that statement because the Pharisees were teaching in a right direction, but then turned around and saying things about him in a wrong direction, which they knew. These guys knew that they were saying what they were doing, what they taught and what they did when concerning him was a downright lie. An amazing thing about it, he said the Holy Spirit will never forgive them, not only in this age, but also in the ones to come. Number one, I have had this personally. I've had ministers knowingly tell lies about me. Mm-hmm. I often wonder about it. Now, number one, God, I don't, no big deal. Knowing they tell lies. Mm-hmm. I've had them do it.
Amen.
Told lies and full well knew it was a lie. Wow. And you had a person come to me down in a church. I wasn't, and said, you know, the pastor said such and such concerning you. And she said, we found out that he's lying about you and he knew it. Mm. But you know what? See, if somebody, you know, you're going somewhere and they don't feel they are, no telling what somebody might do.
That's right. Amen.
See, the Pharisees, see, them is all about their position. If God, hey, my position never came from man.
Amen.
You can't push me out of it.
Hallelujah.
My gift didn't come from any man. It didn't come from a person. You can't take it away from me. Amen. You know, I can throw it under the bus, but nobody else can.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Nobody else can do it.
That's right.
It's me.
Yep.
And I ain't throwing it under the bus. It's from God. So.
Amen.
But see, we want to walk in the light of it. And get that. Have your security. It doesn't matter where people are getting around patting you in the back. Is God patting you in the back?
Amen.
Or does he slap you often? That's what matters. It isn't. We're trying to be this thing about, we want to shine, and we want to shine really from the standpoint of men, and we want the shining of the light on us. That's not the shining. The shining out of us. You get a bright light shining out of something, try to look at it and see what it was. You know, you turn on, like, say, these lights up here. If you had those really bright lights like they do, you stand up here. You ever stand on a stage and you can't even hardly see the audience out there because it's so bright? So, see, if light's shining out of us, out of the crowd, they can't see us. Well, you want them to see the light of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you want them to
Amen.
See. Now, today, it's the show. It to shine the lights on me and I'm wonderful. No, Jesus is wonderful. You know, as I have disagreed with Brother Hagin, I never healed anybody. I said, I couldn't heal a gnat's eyeball. He used to say that all the time. He's right. You don't have healing power. God does.
Amen.
He heals through you. We lay hands on the sick, but he does the healing. All we do is our part is to lay hands. Our part isn't to heal them. I'm so
Amen.
Thankful.
Amen.
That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that job. You know, see, you make yourself free. But see, people, you know, what if I lay hands on don't work? Say, this ain't about you, knucklehead, to begin with.
Amen.
Get out of the flesh and out of your need for somebody lacking you and your need for somebody, you know, patting you on the back. Mm-hmm. Say, are you really interested in their healing at all? Or how are you going to look in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to answer questions. See, we wonder, however we think is however things are going to work, whether God's going to move through us or not move through us.
Amen.
Now, people get the ideas, and I want to say this because people get how do people get the ideas? We have over here the Pharisees say, Jesus, you know, he's casting out devils by devils. So he said, well, that can't be. It can't happen. You need to understand, the devil is not in the healing ministry. Now, we have, and let me just say this, in the Bible, the church, many Christians think they found a place where the devil's healing, but the Bible never says it, but they infer it. It's in the book of Revelation. It's about the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, in the 13th chapter, talks about this guy who is the beast. And the beast is motivated by the dragon. The beast is the Antichrist. The dragon is Satan. He's motivated. Well, it talks about this beast. There were seven heads. And one of the heads, it says, was wounded. In fact, it tells it by the sword. Something happens, whether it's the word there that's used as sword is actually, the word actually really means a dagger, a long dagger or something, but is what it means. In other words, there was something or something tried to kill this guy, and it says, you know, that he was healed. Now, see, they say, well, see, the devil heals. The scripture does not say the devil healed him. It does not say that. You know, we need to understand, well, how did he get healed? We need to understand this as Christians. God don't heal everybody that gets healed. And the devil don't heal. You show me in Scripture where the devil's had a healing ministry and, you know. Because I want you to think about this as we talk. See, you need to get over in your thinking. I have seen this over the years. I say, well, you know, the devil's working through these people. And people are getting healed through the devil. Well, you know, people say that, but I want some proof. You know, show me doctors who had been treating this person as person. They never have that. They always say, but people say this. See, I remember when I got born again, here in Lebanon, it wasn't like, you know, I'm born again maybe a year or so. And in Lebanon, they found up here in Coleman's Park, somebody had built an altar and they had, the demonic symbols and all this kind of, they were doing this thing. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the church in Lebanon was so nervous. Oh my God, they're doing it and they're going through, and I'm thinking about this thing. It's like, what on earth are you people scared of the devil? I'm a baby Christian. I'm thinking, what is wrong with all these Christians? They're worried about their... Now, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul ministered in cities that were loaded with demonic temples. Did he ever get worried about them or go around and, oh my God, what are we going to do? We got this, all this going on. We got to get rid of these temples. No, he never even mentioned about it. He didn't talk about it. You know? He went to Athens, Greece and, hey, you got one God you guys are looking for? Hey, here's the one. He didn't... Christians and their nuttiness. Why? The way we think is how the devil gets to operate.
Amen.
You know, I was involved in sorcery. And when I got born again, I found out my authority over demons. And I thought, my God, God's power is greater than the devil. So I never worried about it after that. You know, it just, oh, but they get into all this stuff. Oh, they're doing stuff in devil worship. It's always been in the earth. Get over it. The only reason it gets big is because Christians don't preach and they act like the devil. They live like the devil, act like the devil, and wonder why the devil showed up. You don't have to worry about them things. Our job is to preach the gospel, not worried about whose temple's whose. That's not our job. And, you know, like we have in the book of Acts, you know, if you go to, in Acts, the eighth chapter, it tells us there about when Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ to them. And it says that many believed because of the miracles and all the things they saw, you know, all this stuff take place. Well, one of the guys that got saved, it specifically mentions, and his name was Simon, he was a sorcerer. Now, it says concerning him in Acts 8 and verse 9 says, but there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorceries for a long time. He astonished them with sorcery. But you know, he didn't have a healing ministry. When he saw a healing ministry, he was like, huh? He was astounded by the healing ministry. Well, if the devil's healing, why wasn't he healing through this guy? Why would this guy get astonished? Well, he'd be doing it too. But he's not. Jesus said a kingdom divided itself will fall. You see, and that's true. God can't be making people sick and healing them. His kingdom will fall. Jesus said so. Satan does not make people sick and heal them too. Get that out of your head, and those knucklehead, poor, small ministers who put stuff in the Bible, write their own scriptures, and then loads of them jump on board with it. They're all worried that the devil might heal. Maybe I'll get healed by the devil. Oh, boy. You know, and I mean, Christians get so nutty. I mean, I was out in Rhema Bible Church. I mean, they're having winter Bible seminar. And two ladies are standing out in the foyer, and I'm standing there waiting to meet a guy, and these two ladies are talking. I heard that witches attend the meetings, and when they lay hands on people for to be filled with the Spirit, they pray and they get a wrong spirit. I thought, can we hang them outside now? They got a good pole out there we could do it on. Yeah, they got one right out front. Now these are people. They're going to these meetings. Well, they didn't get it from that teaching. Where do they get this stuff? We're talking about people's minds. I don't care how saved you are. You can have the squirreliest mind in town.
Amen. Treats.
I mean, those ladies were proof of that. I mean, they never thought about Jesus. What did Jesus say about, he said, if you'd ask for a ask for a fish, would God give you a scorpion? No, the devil's more powerful than God. You can have a meeting and the devil can take it over. And these same people will try to get healed. I will guarantee you, those same ladies, they can't believe for healing. They don't know. Well, the devil might show up and give us something bad. We can't go for this or that. The devil might do it. See, and how you thinking and what you're thinking of in your mind. See, I know why Christians, so many Christians worry, have trouble dealing in areas that are wide. They don't even realize when the devil's tormenting them because they're tormented all the time in their minds. Their minds are running. Their mind's no good. I'm going to say something to you. See, I understand this. When Brother Hagin came along and started teaching, got revelations from God about the human spirit. Man knew very little about the human spirit. They mostly dealt well, the spirit, the soul, and the spirit were the same. People were dealing with stuff, but they didn't understand it. And God had him make emphasis on that. Well, people, in turn, because God had him make emphasis on that, they threw aside the importance concerning the soul. I want you to understand, your soul is eternal, just like your spirit is. Your soul is as eternal as your spirit is. Your soul makes up your mind, will, and emotion. When you die, you ain't going to be a mindless, unemotional being out there. How you believe right now in your soul is what's going to travel with your spirit. Because actually, by the word you can separate soul and spirit, but actually the way it is, you can't, because they're what you are. That's why when you get to heaven, you ain't going to be any smarter than you are here. You're going to have to learn there too. And I figured, God figured it out, it's going to take some time because we're going to have an eternity to do it. So it ain't going to happen real quick for everybody. We need to understand the problem. It's going to take time. Now, we'll have one benefit on the other side is because you don't have Satan bugging you on the other side. But you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to develop, because that's the way it is. That's the way things are. That's the way the kingdom principles don't change when we leave and go to heaven, of how they operate here. It's the same kingdom. They operate the same way. So we need to understand about the soul, and you need to understand about the power of your soul. We minimize it too much, and because I want to talk to you about this. See, a lot of people, the reason they have problems with health and healing is not their spirit, it's their soul. It's not their spirit. Many Christians know things in their spirit. They know. You have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to live inside you. Amen. He wants to make alive your mortal body, but your soul can be working against it the whole time in your soul. Now, I want you to think about this, because we need to, these things, see, people get over their thinking, well, the devil can heal the devil. You got that kind of stuff in your mind. Your soul is going to keep you from getting healed. It's going to keep you from walking in the light that God has for you. When you're thinking wrong, you can't be thinking that stuff. You can't be walking over here and thinking like that. You can't have fears of the devil and what he can do and what he can't. You have to lose that. See, the church didn't like that because it bothered people when you taught about it, so they quit talking about it. So we don't talk about devils no more because it bugs people. Well, it does because they realize they got them. Now, you need to understand this. I'm not talking about Christians being possessed, possessed spirit, soul, and body. We need to understand this. People get possessed by degree. You can be by your mind. You can be, a person can be oppressed or concerning their body, where where demons bring in health problems against them, and that has to be dealt with. But at the same time, people's minds, people can be obsessed. People can go to the point where they're possessed in their mind. Their mind is possessed. They have let evil thoughts come in and they've opened the door. Kenneth Hagin and his teaching on that, and his teaching didn't come from him. It came from what the Lord taught him about this, was about dealing and how people, and if you read, one of them deals with authority and that stuff. It was a book, it was a combination of books. Anyhow, he goes into that and he goes into about his revelation about God in that vision. He goes into good detail into that one. Some of his sermons and different things mention certain things about it. There's one thing, as I've learned over the years, to listen to Brother Hagin's teachings. I have stuff that if you don't, I have things if you haven't listened, like he'll talk about a certain incident happened and he'll talk about that incident and other teachings he does. And when you put the whole thing together, you get the whole picture of really what happened. He'll just use a segment of it on a certain thing that he's teaching about. But anyhow, dealing with those areas, in dealing with it, he showed how people that a sinner is concerning and a saint, it wasn't different on how they get obsessed in their mind. It's identical. And he said that the sinner could just as well not accepted what the devil was trying to bring into him in his thought life. See, we got this idea, and we got this kind of thing that, well, you belong with the devil's kingdom, and I belong to God's kingdom, and somehow the devil can just run everything in your life if you're in the devil's kingdom. No, he can't. If he did, everybody would be murdering today and killing who wanted to. He'd be doing anything the devil wanted him to do. Well, that's not true. See, we got to get these thoughts out. We've had people that sort of taught things, but they didn't teach them clear. And people get weird ideas. That's why I say I've run into sinners that got more sense than saints. Well, how could that be if you had to be a Christian to have good sense? You could have pretty good sense and still be a sinner. I didn't have it, so. But you can't take drugs, smoke pot because it's legal and do all that kind of stuff and things and think you're going to have a good mind. No, you're going to be an idiot because you just proved you were an idiot. No good comes out of stupid.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. You get around messing with drug, whether it's pot or not, you'll open yourself up to demonic activity. I will guarantee you. I lived it. Don't play this game with me. Hey, the guys up there, I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. There's a lot of them. They got money on their eyes. This brings money in. And you know what? The people that don't pay the tax are buying the pot. The guy that works can't use the pot because he needs the job to work to take care of his family. So we turn around, they can't work, so they take our tax money to keep those guys. These people are so insane. And all of them have college degrees. Woo! Man, I want a degree now. If you don't get a God degree, all the rest of the education, you can just throw it away. You'll use it to kill, steal, and destroy.
Great preaching.
It will. So you get a God degree, you get an education, you know what to keep and what to throw out.
Amen.
You learn to eat the hay and not the sticks.
Amen.
You become as smart as an old cow.
Amen.
That's the degree you ought to have. I got the old cow degree.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I have a doctorate in the old cow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, in dealing with this area, dealing with the soul, we need to understand this. See, one of the things, years ago, I started to do this because I saw certain things in the scripture, and I understand when... lots of times from the prophet's ministry, you need to understand this about the prophet's ministry. People get into extreme over in a ditch on the side, you know, following wrong. And when God sends a prophet along, if he is a prophet, most of the time God will have him in teaching. He'll teach over in sort of an area where some people call it extreme, but it's really not extreme. He'll sort of focus in one area, not the whole thing of what's going on, is to draw people away from that to get them over on his side. God does that. He's done it all. You follow the prophets in the Bible, did the same thing. God does that concerning the ministries. Kenneth Hagin was like that. There was ministry. The church had gotten over the ditch. And God turned around and gave him revelations. And those revelations he got was to bring the church back over. He wants the church in the center. Some people went over and went in the ditch too far. They went to that side. And it wasn't that's not the intent. But God will draw people over. And so, God had him emphasize certain things, and there was a purpose in that in the time. One of the things that he emphasized on was confession. Well, the Lord spoke to me because of the things with confession. And here I was back in the late 90s. The Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, I want you to start preaching and spending more time and emphasis on preaching on doing what the Word says instead of confession. He said, and then he told me this. He said, I spoke to Kenneth Hagin. He said, because people generally did what they knew in his day. He said people were doers. They did stuff. They followed God. Their lives and stuff were much cleaner. They did the things that they felt that the Bible wanted them to do. They just didn't know about how confession. And he said, I had him teach on confession because that's what they needed. They didn't have that. They knew about doing. He said today, the church teaches all confession and no doing. And see, this is what we have today. The confessors of the word. Is it working? No. Why? Because the two go together. We need to see, we weren't supposed, you know, God wanted to use us, you know, everybody wanted to be what a Kenneth Hagin or wanted to be a something or other. And they all jumped on the boat to go over to there. And that ain't where they belonged over there. There's things that, yeah, the revelations of Brother Hagin, God, are wonderful. The things that I learned from him. But we need to, our job is really what he taught us. Our job is to bring this thing to the middle of the road, to bring it to people so they can walk in the light, so you can have the miraculous. He did all that stuff, what God gave him in those revelations, not to carry us into a ditch. And we need to understand. We need to understand what is needed today among people. Well, if there's anything among the church world needed today, it's doers of the word. We have so little of that. We have all this stuff here. Well, you're saved and you're again. Grace just takes care of everything, and you're just, well, it's all right. And people don't know about doing. They don't know about doing. So they make confessions, and then I watch this all the time about people. They're making confessions, but their actions aren't in line with their confession. And I know this. It ain't gonna work. I know it. This ain't gonna work. I can say anything I want. I got to act. We need to know the actions. One of the things that comes with this is because of our minds, how we think. As a man is, as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, a guy's going to do the way he thinks. That's why I said many times I stopped and said, God, I'm doing this. It ain't working. What is it that I don't know? I'm going to change my mind about something. There's something that I need to know to change my thinking so I can act whatever way I need to be acting. Learning new stuff and not going to school, whether you get college and degrees, all that you learn, if you don't use it, it don't amount to nothing. You know, they want you to learn 40 different, you know, you want to go out here and go do this in life. They want to teach you 27 other different things. And the reason they want to do that, that's about money. They aren't as much as interested in, you know, you got to learn this and that over here and that you ain't going to ever use in your life and don't even care about, you know, but you're going to have that over there to get over here to this if you want to have our degree. Why is that? Well, it's like colleges do today. They go out here and you can't get through in 4 years anymore because they keep changing the courses you need to have to get the degree. They do that all the time today. So you have to pay for more courses. So you have to do more things. And we're just caught in this thing. It isn't about, and it's the same way in the kingdom of God. I watch ministers do the same thing. They can't, they just keep adding to. It's like people can't get to where they need to go. Hallelujah. That's what I loved about Kenneth Hagin. I could get to where I wanted to go. I didn't have to do courses I didn't need. But see, we don't have that. We have set up a system. America's about money. The whole system is about money. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. So if we have a lot of evil, there's got to be a root to it. Well, amen. Hallelujah. See, that's why I learned young as a Christian, I think, through Brother Hagin, I learned. Money can't be the prize. Money can't be a prize, the prize of what you're shooting for. Can't be it. I found out that if God can't get you money, if you have to put it in the forefront to get it, who wants to serve and work for him? If I have to go out there and chase money to do God's work, if that's what you want to do, or whatever it is, you have money to do and money this and money that. If money would make people happy, America would be the happiest country to ever come to. Does anybody from another country come here for happy? They come here for money. They don't come here for happy. They come here for money. Why? That's the spirit of America. Oh yeah, so we could just earn money. No, it's just about earning money. What's the purpose of money? You know, all we have toolboxes and they're all filled with money. There's no tools in them. It's all money in there. So can you fix anything? No, but we got money. We can throw at it. Something don't work. We can spend a lot of money. Never gets fixed, but we spend a lot of money on, aren't we? Something. Wow, we're wonderful people. But you have to watch this. See, that's the spirit of the age it's got in the church. See how you think. See, I'm dealing with how you think, your soul. You know, they found this out. Now, dealing areas, you know, the Lord wants me to deal with this in the areas of health. Because I found this out over the years. Because I watch this. I watch people who are unsaved do better health-wise than people who are saved. There's got to be a purpose. Now, here's the faith people's purpose. Well, see, the devil don't attack them. He attacks you because you're a Christian. That ain't true. Devil don't like nobody. His whole kingdom, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it is. I'm going to tell you, lots of times I found this would happen. It's how people think. It's how people think. It's how you think. How do you think about health? How do you think when you... Isn't it amazing that in our scriptures tells us, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, 12th chapter, tells us what are we supposed to do? Renew our minds? So we can prove that what is... So you can prove something. So you can prove the good and acceptable will of God. In other words, you can manifest it. That will manifest the good. Do you... What, see... What is this? How do you get it? Did he say, well, you get it, but just be, he said, by the renewing of the mind. Your mind, see, your soul is such an important part of you. It's number one. I don't care how from your spirit's born again, how much it is. Your mind's going to determine how all this is going to work out. Because you won't yield to your spirit if your mind's in la la land. If your mind's over and hooked up to the God, the devil's kingdom, and you basically think like he does, and you do things just like he does, out of his, like the rest of the world does, and what they're shooting for with our plans and purposes of America, you know, what Americans want, and what Americans, you know, we're gonna fill out the next survey. You know, I'm so sick of them. They say things, these surveys about, you know, what's important to you. And, you know, I just put them right on them and send them back and say, it's important to me not to get another survey. Because if you don't know what we're thinking by now, you know, you need to just go live in China and leave us alone. You're ready for Putin now. But it's just the craziest system. And then they're doing it. And they do all these things. We just did a polling. It's such ridiculous. I mean, just absurd polling. We don't need anybody in Congress. We don't need to vote for one Democrat or Republican. Just vote for the poll. Because that's all they're doing. They follow the poll. But we understand this. This is a way of thinking. You can't get trapped in this kind of thing. You can't get your minds trapped in their trap. This is the trap. They keep you thinking over there. You're over. They're feeding you information. There's information come to you. How do you interpret that information? How does your mind work? How does your mind work? Now, years ago, I got studying years ago on these areas and that stuff. Because, see, I wanted to find out some things about our soul, about how it works. And things that they found out over time. One of the things that was really interesting that I found was this. They proved this time and time again. You know, you have all the time they test medicines. And okay, so some company comes up with a medicine and they put it out here, but it has to go through trials. And they one of the things that has to do with what the double blind thing it is. What they do is this. They take groups of people. And now the group of people, they know who's getting the actual medication, and they have a certain group, half the group is not getting the medication. The group don't know it. They don't know. They're in on the trial. They're blind to the thing. They're blind to the what's going on. People volunteer. So they have a certain problem or anything or, you know, disease, whatever it is, taken care of, and they give them a medication. So half the people are getting the literal medication. The other ones are getting a pill that's nothing. It's not a pill. And, they use the term sugar pill, but it's not doing sugar. People know with sweet, something's wrong with this thing. But they just give them a pill. It's just a pill with nothing inside of it. It's just, and what they found, that's called a placebo. That's what they call that thing. You know, many studies, people taking the placebo actually got better than the people taking the medication. Why? Their mind. I'm just going to, your mind has a ton to do with your health. You need to understand this. See, God heals through the spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, a mind that is thinking wrong is going to have a hard time hooking up with what God's doing. Amen. If you can't keep your mind over thinking right, see, people, their minds aren't working good. I talked about, used this before, where they had done a study. They did this study, and they found this is, now this was done years ago. When the first time I read this study, this got to be over 20 years ago when I first read this. They did a study, and the guy came up with this. He said that 70% of the people that were in the hospital were in because of psychosomatic reasons. The problem of their health was the psychosomatic, which meant had to do with their mind. Their body wasn't working right because their thinking wasn't right. Something's wrong in their mind. Well, the people that did that study, they didn't have a big enough name, so they didn't like that. So the health community didn't like that one. Well, here they just did one a couple years ago and found out the same thing. People's health is tied to how they think. Oh, don't surprise me that Paul wrote, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we haven't put the emphasis on the soul. We should. We haven't done. I'm not criticizing Brother Hagin. God used him and needed to at the time. People didn't know a thing about the Spirit. They didn't even know nothing much about being led by the Spirit of God. Much God had to bring. But you know, we need to stop. Like he told us, Brother Hagin told us many times. He said, there's areas, he said, I never touch. I don't ever touch and teach. And he said, but people need to touch it and teach it. No, we got over in our groups and we only went to our one guy on one side. Nobody ever wanted to think for themselves or let the Holy Ghost. No, we just stick with whatever they're doing. We need to come out of this thing and get out of this, because we are dealing with a major problem in the church today, and it's people's minds are not good. They're too tied to the world system, to the system outside of the kingdom of God, the way America runs. Our political systems are 100% tied, not to God or God's kingdom. They're tied to the kingdom of men. What men think and what men thinks will change this nation. And we've gotten over those things in the church world. People's thinkings and thoughts. See, if we're following the kingdom of God, you know, Jesus didn't get nervous because of all the stuff going on around him.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul, he just kept preaching the gospel. He didn't run around. He didn't worry about all the things the church worried. He didn't worry about the governments of his day and all the stuff he were doing. Didn't get any fuss out of that. We have the other apostles write letters. They're in none of the fuss about what the government's doing. And they're sitting under Rome. This is a real cute system. Biden's a sweetheart compared to Rome. But see, this is our gospel today. Our gospel is not loaded with what brings you the place of peace and joy, that you can walk in this life and I can live this thing. And it's like, hey, no matter what happens, I'm okay. No matter what happens, hallelujah, God will put me over. No matter what happens. Hey, if they haul me off and kill me, hey, I go to be with Jesus. Now, people are in their own things. We're struggling and fighting through this world system things and this thinking. And what happens? It's affecting our health like crazy. We got to keep our minds over the years of peace and joy. We got to keep there. Paul wrote and said this crazy saying, I learned to be content in every situation I'm in. Oh my God.
Amen.
You don't have that preached in a church today because they don't believe that ever happened. Every situation, I'm content in every situation. How many have arrived there? Raise your hand. Should be a goal.
Yep. Amen.
If you can't achieve and you ain't ever getting closer to it, you ought to stop and say, what's wrong with me? Something's wrong with my mind. I shouldn't be surprised I have health problems. Something's wrong. I'm not arriving. Because I tell you what, see, faith leads you to the place of rest.
Amen. That's right.
If you can't go to the place of rest, you're not faith. You're not dealing with the areas of faith.
Amen.
You're still struggling. Hey, we must say that about ourselves. I know it about me. If I don't reach a place of rest, I stop and say, hey, hold it. I'm not in this faith game. I got to get, what's going on? What's the matter with me? I need to get over where I'm in this thing and I'm standing in faith and I'm not troubled. I'm not worried about, I'm at rest in this thing. I got the answer. That I can look at the things around me. Don't matter what these things show me around me. I got the answer.
Hallelujah.
Don't matter what to say. We don't teach that level of faith today. And you can't go there if it's not taught. We can't go there. There's nothing a matter that we haven't arrived yet. But what's terrible, we ain't even got a map to go there in the church today. We don't have a map to arrive because they just erased that because we don't like those scriptures. That we're word people, but let's block that one out. Now, what am I going to say? Paul's had some trouble. He said, I learned to be content in every situation. I'm not praying to have his life. But who am I to sit around and talk about my problems?
Amen.
I'll never forget when I went down to Peru and was down to Lima and went over to the devil's mouth to minister. And I'll just never forget seeing those people. And one of the first things that I told God when I was there, I said, Lord, forgive me for all those times I opened my mouth like I had a problem. Forgive me. Lord, I had a lot in our... I didn't... See, this is one thing. See, if our minds... And we follow the way we think. Well, we think's hard. You look around here. You watch the news and you watch all this stuff. You live, whether it's Democrats or probably talking about all the things going on. You think, oh, this is all so horrible and terrible and everything else. We don't know what horrible, terrible is.
Amen. Preach.
Read the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Horrible, terrible. Yeah. You look back in our history. Horrible, terrible. You have no clue today. We have no clue today. We have no clue today. See, when we make these things big in our day, when they ain't big, we diminish God. That's what we don't want to do. See, no matter what I go through, even if it is something big, I want to keep the things where God is bigger. God is greater. Say, we're talking, see, singing about him being strong and all that kind of stuff, and then, well, but you just don't know Joe Biden. Our president's lost his mind, and so has half the church. But we aren't complaining about that. No, it's just him. Now, I'm talking about this. One of the things I want you to get in this fact is dealing with this. We're going to deal in the areas of health. It's how we think. We talk. You got to get over to things as dealing. See, if we're going to go into the areas of start, if you want to deal in the areas of dealing with demonic powers, you're going to have to turn around and get over. You're going to have to lose this fear. You're going to have to lose the fear concerning the devil and what he can do. See, I know dealing with sorcery and stuff. First thing the Lord taught me that I can cast demons out. Well, the first thing he taught me, one of the first things I learned in Christianity was I can cast out demons. That's what I learned. See, the Bible said about it. What was going on in my heart? My family's sick. And he said, it's the devil making your family sick. See, we had a demon that was actually involved in that. I could have prayed all I want. Nothing would have ever changed. I could have got all you guys to come pray. And we'd all done. We'd have fasted and all this stuff. And all we'd done is got hungry and got our tongues dry from praying. And the devil would still have been at Ed's house. You need to understand this and get this thinking in your mind. There is no Christianity without being led by the Spirit.
Amen. Preach.
If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you're going to, that's one of the first things the Lord taught me. One of the first things. Born again in January and February, he said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. That's what he said to me. I don't know a thing that I know or understand a thing that I understand except through the Holy Spirit. If he wouldn't have taught me, he wouldn't have led me into things, I wouldn't have known. I could have never, you know, people sit down, well, I just feel like, you know, I want to go over here and do this. I know the Spirit's lead me over to look into certain things and start studying certain things. He'll start to lead me in a direction. He'll start to do that. Are you the genius?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's just like me. You know, we got computers. I don't have to know everything. I can look it up. Well, see, I got the genius in me. I can look it up. I can go ask him. He'll direct me. He'll guide me. See, we can do that. We're not relying on none of that today. We rely on our own wisdom or what men say. We'll chase around to find out what somebody says about it. See, what did the Holy Ghost say about it? What did he tell you? What is it? See, being led by the Holy Spirit, that's what you got to get over there, and we got to learn to be led by the Spirit. Dealing with demonic powers and things, like with your own mind, do you really know how you think? Just because you can quote scriptures, that don't mean that's how you think.
Amen. Preach.
I'll find out how you think when pressure comes. I will find out instantly. You can tell me all you know, but we'll find out quick when you have to use what you said.
Amen.
And found this out many people. They said right things, but that ain't what they used when they got in trouble. That's not what they used. See, you got to get over it. It's how you begin to think. See, God really dealt with me really drastically over in the areas about things. It's one of the things we need desperately today. People who have experience in the Word of God, not people who know the Word of God.
Amen.
Have experience of how it works. We need to have that. We don't have people with experience. We have people teaching, as Randall Greer always just says this, he said they get up on Sundays and they give a book report. I can tell you what God's Bible says, but they don't know nothing about its working and how it works or what it does.
Amen.
And see, we need to come on, that we need experience. It's one thing, as I found out by getting experience of how God's Word worked, it changed a lot of what I thought I knew about what the Word said.
Hallelujah.
Changed a lot. It's one thing to be able to do it. There's another thing to know what it says. And I realized what my knowing what it says wasn't really how it worked. And when I found out and the two got tied together, I said, oh my God, I see what they meant by that. I see it now. It's like acting on the Word. That was one of the greatest things that I learned. One of the great revelation I got is acting on the Word. And the Lord taught it to me. Waking up in the morning, because I asked the Lord a question. Kenneth Hagin keeps talking about acting on the Word. What does he mean by that? And what do I do to act on the Word? What does it mean? I wanted to know. See, acting on the Word ain't just doing one thing. You're going to have to act according to what you say you believe, which your actions may be different at times of what you're doing.
Amen.
It's just like, you know, you don't play basketball like a guy fixes an engine in a car. If you guys... fixing your car like a guy playing basketball, take it to another shop quick. But see, it's whatever you're doing, your actions and whatever you're doing. We need to understand that. Well, the Lord taught me because he was teaching me about sickness. He was talking to me about health and over in the areas of health. And when I woke up in the morning, that one morning I woke up and I was only born again a few months. And I wake up and man, my stomach's like, feel like somebody tied it in a knot. And it's like, oh my God, I'm just feeling terrible. And, like, I just went through my mind and I thought about, here's what I did. See, I was going to be Mr. Confession guy in his praise. This is what I'm going to do. See, I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe God heals me and then, but I'm going to call off work sick. That's what I was going to do. So, I never said that with my mouth. That thought just went through my mind. This is one thing is I said, God knows my thoughts. The devil didn't know my thoughts. God did. And inside of me, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, it wasn't like my still small voice, which is voice of my, it was a more authoritative voice said, if you stay in, call off work and stay in bed, you're going to be sick all day. I thought, oh boy. See, first thing hits my mind, well, I made the right confession. Oh yeah, see, I'm confessing right, see. But he's going to teach me about acting in the Word, taking that confession and turning it into the power of God.
Amen.
And so he said to me, do you believe? Because see, I had quoted 1 Peter 2:24. He said, do you believe too, 1 Peter 2:24? I said, yes, I do. And I quoted it back to the Lord, laying there on the bed. Well, he said, if you believe it, then get up and act like it. See, it says it's by his stripes you were healed. See, he wanted me to believe I was healed, not going to get healed.
Amen.
See, I was believing I was going to get healed. That's why I was going to stay in bed. And you know what? I instantly got healed. No, I didn't. I got out of it. See, I started acting when it didn't seem like it was true at all.
Amen.
But that day, I got a revelation that absolutely changed my life from that period on. Concerning divine healing. Got a revelation. Till I got to work, every symptom had left my body. I was completely well and healed. I just got up and just acted on what the Word. I'm going to praise God. My Word says I am healed, so I'm healed. See, that's when the devil, see, you're sitting around there, and that's when the devil knows, see, you said some things, and he, yeah. Well, if you're healed, why do you still feel so bad? You ain't ever heard that. You never got around the faith thing.
Yeah.
why didn't it change, Mr. Faith? You know? But you know what? I was Mr. Faith. I was acting in the right direction. I was in the right direction now. I was in the right direction. But see, the devil wants me to start making my confession on what I feel, what I think, not what the Word says. See, changing how your mind... See, God had set my mind in a direction. I can't leave that. If I do that, this faith thing ain't working. This faith thing ain't working. I got to keep my thoughts in the right direction. There are thoughts that I have to hold in the forefront of this thing. Well, I went through the whole thing not feeling great. Got in my car, started going to work, started feeling better and feeling better until I got to work every symptom. I left my body, I felt fine. Learned over the years practicing that thing, and I tell you what, I've seen it work and seen it work and seen it work through a lot more major things than that. I've seen that thing work of acting on the Word of God. Now, see, I want to get to this is how you're thinking in your mind. This is one thing, is how you think. How, what are your thoughts about things when something comes along?
Amen.
When something comes, when you say you release your faith, what is your action in the direction? See, I learned in the things of like, say, doing like, say, with money, like say going on vacations, like Wanda and I, like I was the only one at work. She was home with the kids. We decided we're doing it that way. You know, there's these other people, you know, you have two people working, they got more money and all that kind of stuff. They got things. But I was always thinking, well, God, you know, take care of my family. You want them to go on a good vacation. So we'd plan a good vacation. We didn't plan cheap ones. We'd plan a vacation that cost some money. Well, we'd place one that cost some money, and we didn't have a nickel to go on it. We didn't have one nickel. We'd had no money to go on that vacation. But I learned this. First of all, you start saying what you're going to do. Now, you have to use your faith. You're going to have to act. You don't talk around to people and say, well, I'm believing God for money to do this. You just said, I'm going to do this if I get the money. I'm believing God for the money. I wasn't believing God. I believe I'd received it. I believed I had it. So I would go around and tell people, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going on vacation. We're going on vacation. We're going down. You know what? We'd set dates and everything. We do. See, you're going to act like this is true? Or are you just going to wait to see if the money comes and you can do it? What are you going to do? Well, I'd say, we're going to do such and such. And this is the dates we're going to do them on. This is what we're going. I'm going then. And I blab it. I'd go to church and tell, yeah, this summer, we're going, our first Disney vacation. I said, we're going to Disney. We didn't have a nickel to go to Disney. We're going to Disney. So, yep, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go down there. You know, what I found out, I had a credit card. I could call and make a reservation. See, I'd call and make a reservation for the dates. You know, I'm planning on going. I'm doing this. I don't have any money in the game, but I'm making all the plans. We're doing, you know, all this stuff we're planning. We're telling the kids, we're taking you to Disney. Now, if Jesus gives us the money, we're going to... You see, this is why things die. This is why things die and people don't get it. They call it faith, they believe, but it isn't. See, I learned this principle of you act like it's true. Act like it's working. And so, acting like it's working, you know what? All the money came in for us to go to Disney. Everything came in for us to go. We took another trip to Disney. And I said, this one here, God told me to take the kids on down to Disney. See, God might tell you. See, you know, here's the Lord always pulls one on you. It was right before I went to Rhema. See, I started Rhema the following year, but it was in November. Now, where I worked, I had a lot of seniority in the department I was in, so I could get vacations whenever I wanted them. I could set my time and stuff. I always took off over Christmas and New Year's. That's when I would take my vacation time and that stuff. And it was always nice because being home with the kids and stuff, over there, off of school, we'd always have a good time, you know. Christmas and New Year's was nice not to be at work. But I did that, but the Lord spoke to me back in November, and he said, I want you to take Wanda and the kids down to Disney World. I want you to take them down to Disney World. I said, God told me to do this. God told me to take them down. I knew it was God talking to me. I didn't really want to go. I didn't want to go down. I said, oh, Christmas. And I slipped down there. Oh, man. But he said this to me. He said, they're not going to get a vacation like this one for a while. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it all that meant about it. He said, they're not going to. I thought, you know, you get over in your own mind and think, oh, God ain't going to give us any more money. You know, United States is going under, and Disneyland's going to blow up, and we ain't going to have Disney no more. I don't know. You can think, see, this is where people get ideas. God says something, and people start getting their ideas. Well, I'll tell you, there's great danger coming. No, it's your stupid's coming. It's just showing up. You know, can God tell you? Just don't say, I didn't know what that was about. But God showed me then later on was about, and so we made that plan. And so I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'll go down, but I said, you're the one that planned this trip. I said, if you don't give us the money, I ain't using my money to go. You're the one that said you want this trip, not me. See, I don't know how you guys deal with God. You may tiptoe around. He ain't like that.
Amen.
I told him, you scheduled the trip. You better bring the money in. Amen. So I sat down and told him how much he had to give us to go on the trip. And I wanted this. I said, now to pay all the expenses and eat and everything, I want $1,000 play money left to whatever. We just want to blow some money. We can blow some money. Now, would God do that? You know, he don't like that bit of just being frivolous. I say, frivolous. This is entertaining my family. He's the ones he tells me he loves.
Amen. That's right.
Well, he brought in every bit I asked for. He brought it in.
Hallelujah.
Even had somebody give us a motor home to go down in. We didn't even ask for it. They came and asked us if we wanted one. God's good. Well, see, we spent all that money. Well, then this is interesting because now we get past that spot and we come back. And here it is, the end of January. And I'm working, minding my own business at Reese's one day, and the Lord says to me, just as clear, oh, you need to go to Rhema this year. And I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me this before? And I said this. See, stupid, my mind and my thing. I wouldn't have spent all that money. And this is what he said to me. That's why I didn't tell you. He knew how Ed was thinking. There's things God can't tell you because you ain't bright enough to handle it anyhow. You'd be like me. You'd be dumb. And see, God can't send you to Disney Inn out there. And he sent us out there, and I'll tell you what, we lived great at Rhema. We went to labor. We lived great. God did wonderful for us and did good. But see, those things, but all those times and through all these things, you develop ways that you think. But see, I had to learn, and you have to learn this, is learning, it isn't just about confession. It isn't just about saying things. Your mind, you have to get over it, because your mind will find things of acting on the Word as unreasonable. You've got to get your mind trained that you'll do the Word of God, whether it seems unreasonable to you or not. If you don't,
Amen.
You're never going to go very far in faith.
Amen.
You're always going to be, see, I learned with health. You know, there's things that I did, that even the Lord said to me, you do extreme things. That's why he said you've seen some really supernatural stuff take place in a short period of time, because you did really extreme stuff. Well, I ain't telling you to do extreme stuff, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get your actions in line when you believe God has done something for you. And that's where this, see, we have this teaching today is the promises of God. You know, most of what's in the New Testament is not promise. There's not a promise, hardly a promise in there. It's a statement of fact. It said, God never promised to heal you. It said he did it.
Amen.
It says, by his stripes you were healed. He never promised to heal you. He said, it's done. A promise means it ain't done yet. All the blessings, all the promises of God, yes and amen in Christ Jesus, everything. Lord told me about that one time with the promises he made to Israel. He said, in the church, all those promises back there belong to you. I can go back and claim promises. He said, all the promises. What would that mean? Well, what all did God promise? From the beginning of the book to the end, there's full of different things that he did promise. But in the New Testament, we have the most wonderful thing, statements of fact concerning the church. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. He didn't say he's going to bless you with every spiritual blessing. He said he has.
Amen.
See, that's what, I'm blessed. I'm not praying and asking God to bless me. I'm thanking God he does. See, there's a big difference. Now you act like you're, now you start living a life like you're blessed instead of living a life like you're trying to get blessed. Most faith people are living a life like they're trying to get blessed.
Amen.
That's where they miss it. Their mind, they're thinking. No, I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed.
Amen.
I'm the blessed of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm a king and a priest. Mike talked about this morning. I am. I'm not going to be. I'm not developing into it. I am.
Amen.
Now, I might have to learn to develop up into it to enjoy all of it. It belongs to me. But, nonetheless, it's what I have. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not trying to get it.
Amen.
I have it. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ. How do you talk? What do you say? Well, my memory, I just have a hard time remembering. You don't have a mind of Christ then yet. So you can quote scriptures all you want. But what you say, Jesus said this, that you're going to be like a tree. You're going to produce the fruit of whatever kind of tree you are. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is what you're going to produce. You're coming out and saying, you know, don't say something dumb and say, I'm just going to speak my mind. Make sure you know what's... People say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I say, no, you need to keep it. You need to keep all you can because you ain't got much. Don't give it away. Keep whatever little bit you got. See, we need to get over here and dealing with our mind and dealing with the way how we view and think things. Do I think of the ideas that I am blessed? When I go to God, do I think about him? Am I approaching him, trying to get him to do something he didn't want to do? Trying to get him to do, God, don't you see him in his problem? I tell God, God, you know what's happening. You know, I never talk to God like he don't know what's going on.
No, that's right.
Say, you surely know. I just found out. He knows. Well, see, how you approach God, how you view God is about how the response and stuff goes. We need to get that clear in our minds.
Amen.
We talk about God knows everything and then talk to him like he don't know a thing.
Yep.
Our actions don't line up with faith. Say, God, you know what's happening here? You know, I like in the Old Testament, you know, Hezekiah, he turns around and gets the letter out that that king, Assyrian king wrote. He gets out and says, hey, God, you see what this guy sent? And he reads it. He reads it to God. God told him, don't worry about it. You're okay. And you know what he did? He spent time worshiping, praising God. He didn't spend time weeping and crying, saying, oh my God, they're outside there. They got this huge army. And oh my God, they're going to come and kill us. Oh, I can see it. We can't fight against them. They're holding siege in our town. And can't you see? They put a demonic altar out there in Coleman Park. Did you see the Buddhist build a temple in New Jersey? I just didn't build this thing. And I just... I am the temple.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They have one where a demon lives, and I'm the temple of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, the church has lost its revelation. They've lost who they are and what they are. We got damaged souls.
Amen. Preach.
Damaged souls. And see, as we take communion, communion should remind us of who and what we are. The whole thoughts of communion. See, most people, communion is a place about, you know, Christians approach it about their sinfulness. I approach it about their righteousness. See, yeah, I missed it. If I missed it, he said, I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me.
Amen.
Cleanse me. It's to remind us, hey, you know, if you need a cleaning, today can clean house. Today can be the day of healing. Today can, whatever you want it to be, it'll be to you. God don't decide it. God don't decide it for you.
Amen.
It's already written in the book.
Amen.
What it is. You just determine what you're going to believe it is for you. What's this for me? How you think? See, when I was raised in a church, and I mean, communion table was something you tiptoed around and was afraid God's going to reach out and grab you and choke you. he might not like you. I messed up, you know. But it wasn't a time of joy. It's about remembering Jesus, remembering what he did for us. Shouldn't that bring joy to us?
Amen.
See, to me, it brings perspective back. It doesn't mean to me that, you know, I can get away with sin and I just, no. It means to me a more holy life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See how you think about it. If it becomes a place, you know, you come through and oh, sin for me, and I'm getting it. No, you just, you know, you're not a sinner coming before. If you did miss the mark, we said confess your sin. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And see, it's a reminder. Let's come. You just come to the presence of God. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. That's what communion is. Come boldly to the throne of God. We can go boldly to the communion table. And if we missed it, we can say, Lord, I blew it. Hallelujah. But these elements, they're reminding me of your righteousness and your holy, what you made me. Hallelujah. You set me apart. Hallelujah. You made me what I could never be.
Amen.
See, it's the approach to communion. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, Lord. It's reminding me that you did heal me. I ain't trying to get healed. Just thank you for healing me, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It reminds me of the health you provided for me. So you get those thoughts in your mind. That's what God... We're the church.
Amen.
Years ago, I had the Lord say this to me. My people keep trying to get what I already give them. He said, I don't understand it. And this is what he said. He actually said, he said, I don't understand my people. They keep trying to get me to give them what I already gave them. They're not receiving it. It's to your account. Claim it. See, don't treat God like his hands closed. His hands done. He already made the deposit to your account. It's already yours. You're going to write the check. He ain't.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He ain't going to write the check for you. He ain't going to write a check and say to you, healed. I'm sorry. That's already been done.
Amen.
What are you writing on your checks you got?
Amen.
Still sick, trying to get healed. Still sick, trying to believe God. Oh, Lord, help. Don't laugh. We've all written some checks like that already, have we? That's not laugh. I've written some dumb checks how to tear up. But you know what? He never threw me out. He kept giving me checks to write.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Your check's not too big today.
Amen.
Your check determines what you can do, what you can believe, not with God or not with anybody else.
Amen.
It's what you. Hallelujah. Like Kenneth Hagin, I remember him saying, he said, God, you know, we're going to write out a check for $1,000 and we keep writing them out for 10. See that thinking. And so I'm talking about a way of thinking. You want to change that. See, over time, I was a $10 check writer, man. I couldn't see beyond that. But over time, hallelujah, I could see I could write bigger checks and bigger checks and bigger checks. I could sit down and say, Lord, I can see myself healed. I can write a healing check, no sweat. Hallelujah. I can write that thing. Glory to God. I can see that. Remember, he's not holding back. Hallelujah. It's your check. Are you acting like your checks are any good?
Amen.
How you act? Say, I wrote a check, but you just never know. You know things happen. Yeah. Things happen to my checks. They turn out okay.
Amen.
Things happen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I didn't help you, I helped me today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just reminding myself of how good God is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord God, because you didn't just cleanse the heart of man, but you cleansed man's mind.
Amen.
Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord, that your word comes, the great washing of the word, the great washing of the word of God that clung and cleanses our soul. Lord, you did a great job on the inner man. You did wonderful. Hallelujah. And your word will be as wonderful to our minds today and our thoughts and our soul. Lord God, our emotions are tied to your glory and your goodness. Hallelujah. And not to the frailty of the things going on around us. Hallelujah. That even our emotions are tied to your word and what it says. Hallelujah. That you're our great keeper. You're the one that loves us and you just will prove it again and again and again. And we thank you, Lord. We're going to be taking communion today. I want to thank you. The life is in this, Lord God. Hallelujah. The elements aren't special. You're special. These elements only remind us of your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your greatness. And I thank you, Father God, as we partake these today, Lord God, they're part of the cleansing and the washing of our minds and our souls, Lord God. Hallelujah. So your glory can move more clearly through us. Hallelujah. And reveal your wonders and your goodness to others in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to be such a bright light. Hallelujah. That when men look at us, all they see is your glory. Hallelujah. They see your glory. Not our face, but your glory. Hallelujah. They see that you're a wonderful God and a glorious God. And I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your kindness. Lord, you have been so patient with the church. And I just want to thank you for your patience. Lord God, as how the church has missed it in so many ways, but you never quit. You just come back, and Lord God, you're the great restorer. There's no one who restores like you do. There's no one who refreshes like you refresh. And I want to thank you, Lord God, of whether we missed it somewhere or whatever it is, you're the great refresher, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're breathing on us today. Hallelujah. There's a breath of the Spirit moving across us. Lord God, working in us. Hallelujah. Bringing life. Hallelujah. Putting smiles on our face, Lord God. The fears and worries and anxieties, they just leave. They just go. Hallelujah. They can't stay. Hallelujah. Because your goodness outshines all of what man can do, the devil can do, and whatever else. Hallelujah. And we just thank you that your word is true. And you're going to remind us of that more and more and more. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.